current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, May 1st, 2020. I'm Greg Hilt, and alongside on the other side of the glass is Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor here at Calvary Knoxville, and raring to go to share with us the latest of prophetic news. And I'll tell you what, I don't think that there's ever been a time since, at least we've been doing this show since 2006, or 2007, actually, that we've had this extreme of prophetic fulfillment or framework building
right
for prophetic fulfillment happening at one time. On a global scale,
it's the biggest and it's the most effective worldwide I've seen. Just boom.
Yes,
it really is. I mean, this is the most intense. We've seen some big things happen, but I mean, not only everything happening at once, but something that is affecting the entire world and changing our world right in front of our very eyes. It's amazing days we live in, Greg.
It is, and we are glad that you have joined us to help us chronicle these amazing days with your questions and comments. We always appreciate receiving those on Twitter or Facebook. At Prophecy Help is where you can find us there, or you can go right to our website at thesigns.org, and you can send Pastor Mark a prophecy question. We've got a lot of people that send us links to other articles and things like that that they see, and some of those things we haven't seen, and they get added to our show. So we do appreciate our listeners contributing to the program. So Pastor Mark, where do we start? Do you want to start in this first half?
We could literally just do articles the whole show, and we probably will pull some, at least one in this first half, maybe more. We'll see how it goes. Because rather than just having, say, a first half thing, there's so much going on, but I wanted to take a moment to start with this first half. And again, just really encouraging our listeners and informing our listeners about how we're watching Satan literally restructure the world right in front of our eyes. There is so much going on, not just what we see with all the coronavirus and all the events happening. I know you're probably sick of hearing of coronavirus, but it's so in our face everywhere, you can't get away from it. But I mean, things happening behind the scenes with world leaders, restructuring, new plans, the UN talking about how to restructure the world so this never happens again. This is going on, and you don't see this in the normal news headlines. That's why you need to tune in to Signs of the Times. Yeah. But we're watching a major structure change take place, Greg, right in front of our very eyes.
Now, we know that in Matthew 24, Jesus talked about plagues and pestilence, which refers to diseases, famines, earthquakes in various places, all those kind of things. And then we also know what the Bible talks about, a one world order in terms of a one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religion.
Right.
But did you ever think, did you ever, and believe me, you and I have spent, and other people have spent probably countless time trying to figure out, okay, what's going to make those things really come into line? We've heard chitter and chatter and stuff like that, but really kind of force it into a mold. Did you ever see a plague coming?
I really didn't. I really didn't, Greg. And it's interesting because, you know, we've watched for the years that you and I have been doing this show, and of course, longer than that, this kind of gradual buildup. And we've been telling all of our listeners, be watching for this. Oh, look, that's happening. Hey, this is, but it's, and we talked about the frog in the water. You know, we use that analogy a lot, but it's almost like suddenly the frog in the water just started boiling.
Yeah.
It's like we've been watching the frog in the water for a long time, and all of a sudden, when did that happen?
Exactly,
seriously, the frog is dead. He's floating belly up. And this is, here's the thing. Just the beginning. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see these things, this is the beginning of sorrows. And I believe we're now experiencing, I think we're literally full swing into the beginning of sorrows. And yet we have great encouragement in the Lord. We'll talk about throughout the show and encourage our listeners. And I'll be talking about on Sunday morning as well, because there's many things to be encouraged about in the body of Christ, even excited about. But we are in the midst of the sorrows, and it's more than just an occasional earthquake, famine, pestilence. It's like large, gigantic contractions happening worldwide. It's a very, very exciting and interesting time.
You know, as Jesus talked about, it'll be like a mother in birth pangs when he talks about this. Okay, to use that analogy, can you say the water's broke?
You know what? It looks like it. I believe we have to believe we're in. I mean, it's the beginning of sorrows. I would say that when the water breaks would be classified probably for pregnancy. And I've not had a baby, but I've been four times with my wife. That's the beginning of sorrows. Because once the water breaks, typically is when the pain begins to be noticeable. And we've been feeling pain.
Mm-hmm.
This last month and a half to 2 months, we are feeling pain. And so, yes, I do believe the water is broken. And Greg, one of these things that we have when that happens again is this unrest and pain that comes with it. And it's building. You're watching the protests across the country. You're watching the whole freedoms, our Constitution being trampled on under the guise of let's save lives.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing even,
beware when they say peace and safety.
I mean, all kinds of things are happening that are I would say definitely the water has broken. And so, you know, and let's just talk a little bit about that. The water breaking, you're watching now, the stress level is rising. One of the things I want to talk about here briefly in the first half is the stress level rising. And the Bible talks about perilous times in the last days. There's going to be an increase in stress. I think people are already feeling it. I mean, look, it's been, a month and a half to 2 months. We've been locked up in our homes, not been able to be free as we normally are, and people are already very upset. We have the Michigan Capitol was stormed today with a bunch of, armed protesters. They didn't, go in there and shoot anybody or do anything, and they were armed outside. Whether they took their weapons in or not, I don't know, but they went in and stormed it in protest. You've got now the governor in California telling people they can't go to the beach after they already did this past weekend, and although they weren't supposed to this past week, now they're over there in full-fledged, hey, we're not going to put up with this. You've got there in Maryland, they're saying you've got to release us. Now Washington, Greg, our the Congress, the Democrats at least, the Republicans are going back, but the Democrats have said we're not going back for 3 months. Now, think about that. You're talking about no Congress. I mean, basically, just as much will get done, quite honestly.
Can't you do executive orders in lieu of?
Well, yes, and things like that can happen. But the problem is that you can't function as a normal country. Again,
right, exactly. We're designed to function with Congress. Yes,
and so what's happening is that our nation, the world is being effectively shut down. And then you think, okay, we're about to the end of it. Okay, well, this is about to stop. And all of a sudden, you get these reports around the world. And just then listening to our station, the guy comes on the news and goes, there's a resurgence of cities that have been opened up now due to the virus, and now the numbers are back up, so they're reclosing them. So there's articles now about reclosing cities that have already been opened up, whether that's overseas or in America. I haven't been able to read the news good enough to confirm. I just saw the headline. I heard that report before the show started. But even if it's overseas, you know it's going to happen here. So it's almost like we get to the end of the tunnel. We see some light. And Satan slams the door shut again and goes, you know what? Nope, there's no light. It's coming in again. We're going to shut everything down again. All that's going to do is create more stress level, more distress, more problems. There's going to be, fighting in the streets is very possible if this goes on much longer. Looting, all these things. And if they say it's going to continue on, Greg, I was reading one article headline that said there's some predicting now this is going to last for 2 years. And it's this thing where they'll say, oh, it's going to be a few months. Oh, no, now it's going to be a year. Oh, no, now it's going to be a year and a half. Oh, now it's 2 years. It's like every time you start to catch your breath, somebody pushes you back underwater. And we're supposed to get her to the end of April. We're all done now. Everybody goes back to normal. No, we may increase this like in other states. 2 more weeks, another month. And even in our state, I'm thankful for our governor who's now opened things up to the point where we can now have church to a degree. We can do drive-in church. The city and the county is allowing now church inside the building as long as you follow the COVID-19 guidelines, and they've released paperwork showing those guidelines. So we can actually have church in person now. We can actually do drive-in church, but it's still not the same. And the question is, how many churches will do it? How many will not? If we start doing it, will they shut it back down saying, well, now we can't do it? What's going to be happening with all your malls? Your restaurants can open up partially. People getting some hope. What happens if you pull that back? What I'm saying is this is the perfect scenario to stress people out.
Yeah.
And people can only take so much.
Yeah.
And we talked about, I think last week we did, but I'm going to mention it again. And that is there comes a point where the death in life is worse than COVID-19. In other words, there's going to come a point where taking a chance on getting COVID-19 will be a better option if we can live life.
Yes.
Than having zero life for months and years on end. You're going to say, you know what? You're telling me for 2 years, I've got to wear a mask everywhere I go. I can't go and be with my friends. I can't have a gathering larger than 10 people.
You can't see your loved ones.
Yes. And church is limited. You can't sing unless you're wearing, can't even sing if you're wearing a mask, you know, unless you're in the drive-in church, you know. I mean, all these regulations they're giving, I get it. I understand the heart behind it. I know they're trying to spare lives. But the point is, there comes a point where it's not life anymore. It's not life. If you're alive, but you can't live, you are dead. You're a dead man walking.
Well, if we think of Ephesians 6:12, there are certain people that think that they're doing the noble thing in trying to save lives.
Right.
But there's another spirit. There's a battle going on that's not against flesh and blood.
Right.
That's where the true battle is. And what we're seeing in taking something that is statistically, and I haven't, I mean, is this any worse than the flu?
Well, here's the
thing.
What's
the mortality rates and all of that stuff? I know.
We're waiting.
But I'm getting to my point.
Okay,
I know you're going to back that up because we've talked about that before. But this is being used. Fear is being used to force the world to become dependent.
Yeah.
Not self-sufficient, but dependent on a singular government.
Absolutely.
For all of its needs.
Absolutely. And it's under the guise of, or else you can't survive.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. Governor Cuomo in New York made a statement when someone asked him, they said, well, what about the people that just want to go back to work, ready to work? He said, do we have any options? And he said, you know, very kind of, you know, abruptly, the option is death. Well, that's not true, first of all, because even if it's as bad as we think, they're saying 98% of people that get it live. So the option is not death, except for 2% of people, if it's that bad. But the interesting thing was, is that in reality, no, you know what? Living the way we're living is death. And when does that death become worse than COVID-19?
Yeah.
I mean, and now Sweden, get this, Craig. We're going to talk about articles we don't have because we have the freedom here. Sweden now, of all places, that you know, the World Health Organization, who is pretty much debunked now, everybody knows it's pretty much phony after all that's come out from this that's happened. They've really dropped the ball, and they're just it's basically a political organization that's really just in their own interests and using it politically. But even they came out and said, you know, Sweden did this the right way, and they're a few weeks away from being done with it. Here's why. Here's what they did. They did no lockdown. Now they have herd immunity. They said within 3 weeks, Sweden will have, for the most part, herd immunity. And for those listening, you don't know herd immunity. That means everybody's caught it. And the majority of people are fine. And now they can live life because they can't really catch it again. Some will say, but you can't catch it. Well, no. Again, what they're saying is with almost all viruses, even if you do catch it again, the effects are very, very small comparatively. So the reality is they can now go in Sweden and live normal life. No masks, shops open, sports, events, entertainment. They're doing it. They've been doing it from the beginning. And yes, they've had some deaths, but now they're past it. They're immune, and they'll be one of the only nations in the world living normal in, they said, 2 to 3 weeks. And now the rest of the world's saying it's going to be 2 years. Not if we just say, let's just live. Everybody start living again. And those that are in high risk, nursing homes, older conditions.
Yeah, if you've got a pre-existing condition,
protect
yourself. Absolutely.
But everybody else, live life, develop herd immunity, and move on. Your only other option is living death.
Yeah.
Living death. 2 more years, or however long they say this is going to keep going, of basically having zero life. And I can tell you this, I think about the Kendalls, people want to go to Mars. That's not life to me. We're going to go to Mars so we can survive because the Earth's going to... I would rather go down with the Earth in a ball of flames if that was going to happen, yeah. Which it's not because the Bible tells me it's not. But I would rather do that than go to Mars and move to a ball of flame. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The mindset's, I don't get it. But the reality is, Greg, is that, you know, we're about to see some amazing things. We are in truly biblical days.
Yeah.
And we're going to see a lot of rebellion. We're going to see, I think, unrest. And if we don't let people be free, you know, Patrick Henry, we bring it up again. He said it for a reason. This is the cry of the human spirit. Give me liberty or let me die.
Yeah.
That's another way to say it. So let's get on with life and live life. Now, already there's people going, don't you care? You're a pastor. What about that? Of course we care. Are you kidding? Our purpose is to help people get into the kingdom of God and live eternally and to love people and to meet their needs. I'm not saying that we just throw everything to the wind. We already laid the foundation. Those that need to be protected need to be protected. But it's going to be better, and you're going to have less life lost if you let people live and catch it and get over it and live life and get herd immunity. Everybody move on. Otherwise, we're going to be captive forever, and life's over. I mean, it's over.
It'll be a system of communism. Whether you're listening to this program or you're listening to podcast 123 right now, you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, we all experience stress.
Yeah.
And so let's address the stress.
Yeah, I think that, again, the Bible says here in 2 Timothy 3, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And again, that means dangerous, all these different things, but stressful is also built into that. And it just means, you know what? The danger level is going to go up, the hard times level is going to go up, and the stress level is going to go up. And some of you right now listening are saying, man, I'm stressed out more than ever. Now, listen, you know why you're stressed? Because the way that we're being made to live, it's one thing to do it temporarily, that everybody goes, okay, I can sacrifice this way for a certain amount of time. But the way you're being asked to live and now being extended to ask to live and now with loss of hope that it might go for years, that creates anxiety that goes out the roof. And that creates stress, is why people are now marching in the streets. That's why you're seeing the protests. And this is where, again, God gives peace to us as believers, and he'll give us peace in the midst of it. But that's why the stress level is going up, Greg, because I believe the enemy is really bringing the world to the brink of stress and maybe even using this stress to get us to the point we'll say we'll do whatever's necessary to get back to some level of normal. And I think it's interesting to see the introduction of all these digital ideas of giving everyone, you know, a digital mark, so to speak. That's being talked about very honestly and openly. Apple and Google have now come together and released their plan to give apps that go on phones that can now detect those that have been vaccinated or those that hadn't once the vaccines come out, or really to detect those that have had the virus right now and that hadn't had the virus, whether or not you've been near them, all these kind of things. Now people are turning down money. My girls are coffee addicts. I just have to admit that. You can be praying for them. They go to all the coffee shops. They said the coffee shops have stopped accepting money. And it's not because they're giving away free coffee. I'm not saying all of them. There may be somebody out there doing it. So if you know one, I'm not saying all, but the ones they frequent. They said that they're not taking money anymore because they're afraid that they're going to get COVID-19 or give COVID-19 from exchange of money. So look what's happening. We're being put in a situation where we need to do away with cash to be safe. We're getting a situation where we need some type of digital electronic information to keep us from spreading viruses.
All in the name of safety.
The Antichrist will make everyone, small and great, take a mark on their hand or in their forehead. And if they don't, they can't buy and they can't sell. That is exactly what we're seeing. Not only I'm saying we're seeing the stage set up. I'm saying this may actually, at this point, as bad as it's getting and continuing, it may actually be proposed very soon. I believe the Antichrist is alive. I don't know if he's involved in any of these big meetings that are happening internationally right now or not. I wouldn't doubt it, but I know he's going to start out very unknown in the background. He's probably in his late 20s. The reason I say that is I believe he's going to come to power at some time around 30 years of age because he's going to mock the Lord and everything, the time that he started his ministry, the amount of time he did ministry. And the reason I say that, if you notice, most scholars believe that Jesus' ministry was about 3.5 years long. What's interesting about that is that the Antichrist will be ruling for 7, but he's not going to declare he's God until the 3.5 year point, which means for 3.5 years, he's going to declare he's God. That's exactly the same amount of time Jesus said, I'm God. He's going to, I believe, rise from the dead, but not really. It's going to be a trick. Well, yeah, I don't mean to get sidetracked. I get off on a whole teaching on that. But he may be involved, Greg, in some of the things that are going on behind the scenes with this whole thing. And here's what's going to happen. This is something else I want to get in. Did you have some comment? Okay, real quick, because I want to get this in before we run out of time. And that is this. This is what really got my antennas going up prophetically. And that is in Matthew, where he talks about the worldwide famines or the worldwide pandemic, the things happening, basically plagues.
Right.
He mentions famines at the same time. And in mentioning famines, it's interesting. Listen to this headline. The coronavirus, this is from, and again, we don't have these in our notes. I apologize. I'm grabbing these, and I know we're not supposed to do that because you guys can't go look them up. But I'm telling you, you can look it up. It's The Guardian. And if you just Google this, you'll find it out there. We can add it later. The Guardian, out of Europe, says this, and they're not the only ones carrying this. Coronavirus pandemic will cause famine of biblical proportions. Famine of biblical proportions. The bottom line is that what they're saying now is because coronavirus has shut everything down in our food supply system, that the result is going to be, once this really kicks in down the road, worldwide famine. And I'm telling you, if you see worldwide pandemic and immediately following worldwide famine, not only is this the beginning of sorrows, not only are we seeing this thing really kick in, but if you think people are freaking out because they can't do their normal events right now because of this virus, you wait till they can't get food. It's going to really get radical fast. And so the article talks about, let me read just a little bit of it. The world is facing widespread famine of biblical proportions because of the coronavirus pandemic. The chief of the UN's Food Relief Agency has warned, with a short time to act before hundreds of millions starve. Now, I'm not saying they're right. I just find this interesting. More than 30 countries in the developing world could experience widespread famine. And in 10 of those countries, there are already more than 1 million people on the brink of starvation, said David Beasley, executive director of the World Food Program. So he says, we're not talking about people going to bed hungry, he told The Guardian in the interview. We're talking about extreme conditions, emergency status, people literally marching to the brink of starvation. If we don't get food to people, people will die. Now, again, this could be used politically by the UN to get the world to give them more money because they like to travel on their private jets and have all their nice meals in their hotels. They're also a very corrupt organization. But it's not just the UN saying this. Other people are saying there's going to be great shortages of things here in America and great shortages worldwide. So we may be looking at worldwide pandemic and worldwide famine all together at the same time.
Yep.
I mean, again, so just amazing, amazing, amazing stuff going on. And again, in the midst of it, as we said, you're going to see the stressful times increasing and all these other things taking place. Now, again, do we have time to pull that article in, Greg? Do we have time to pull in the article?
If you think so. We've got probably about 7 minutes.
Let's pull it in. Let's pull the article in and discuss the article.
All right. This is from CBSNews.com. The Pentagon confirms 3 videos showing unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yes. Now, this is one that I wanted to, I'm glad we've got a good 8 minutes here, 7 minutes to talk about this, because this is amazing. Now, guys, look, for a long time, people have been talking about UFOs and saying the government has information on it. And they released this whole thing about the UFOs. This has to do with the stressful times and all the weird things that are going to be happening. This is kind of the weird world environment that we have going right now. They've released videos of I'm telling you, these are flying vessels that have no other explanation other than supernatural. There are no known vehicles that do what these things do. They fly without any noticeable propulsion. They fly without any noise. They fly at incredibly high speeds.
You watched the videos?
I have. Okay. It's really amazing.
Okay.
And I know you've seen them. I actually showed them a while back to the body. At least maybe that was on an evening service. But they're about 40 feet long by their estimation and the distance, the way they measure them. But what's really amazing about them is, you know, we talk about all the stressful times that are going to come. And then we talk about when the Lord says sometime around this time, the rapture is going to take place. It's the beginning of sorrows. You know, some believe that this may be the enemy's way introducing in a more legitimate way the UFO idea to explain the disappearing of believers off of the planet in the rapture of the church. I know, Greg, that's kind of where you lean.
Yeah.
And it may be that. We don't know that. The Bible didn't say that. That may be exactly what's going on. But it is interesting. Why is this happening? Now, what is this? I believe it truly is demonic. I believe what we're seeing in these videos are actual fallen angels. And here's why I believe that. The cherubim, which Satan's a cherub, they're described as having a wheel within a wheel. And if you go and you watch those videos, you're going to see this rotating object that is a wheel within a wheel. You'll know what I mean when you watch it. It's amazing. They're so far back, you couldn't see any type of human form or wings or hands or arms. You're too far back. But from the video, you can see the wheel within the wheel. And what's amazing about that is that's a direct description of the cherubim that surround the throne. You know, I used to think about them being like a wheel this way and another wheel inside of it, perpendicular, parallel.
Yeah.
But now that I've seen this, I have a whole different view. Because what you have is you have one wheel one way and then 90 degree in it, you have another wheel.
Almost like a gyroscope.
Yes, it is just like a gyroscope. And what's interesting is it says that when they move, when you read about it in Ezekiel, the cherub under the throne of God, they move forward and backward and side to side in straight lines. That's exactly what those wheels would do. It's almost like the wheels on your office chair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even more so. And again, it's truly amazing what's happening. Now, again, to bring in the theory of could this explain the rapture? Again, we don't know what's going to explain the rapture. We don't know if they'll have an explanation. But people are now really going, we must really have UFOs. There must really be aliens out there. And if suddenly millions of people disappear, and I know this, not only, Greg, you're not the only one that thinks this.
Yeah.
You know, it very well could be that people are going to say aliens took the Christians. You know, when I was in Santa Fe, there was a magazine that was a New Age magazine. And I shared this with Greg a while back, maybe our listeners even. On the front of the magazine, it showed a bunch of people looking terrified, flying out into space, you know, just horrified. And the article on the inside said that the church and Christians are so upsetting the aliens and Mother Earth. Really, they were saying Mother,
yes,
there were two viewpoints.
Exactly, yeah.
Mother Earth was going to spew them out. But there was also a link into, if I remember correctly, to possible link into aliens. So, I mean, this is not that far-fetched. The bottom line is, I believe we're going to see a lot more of this kind of weird stuff in the heavenlies and deception through these possible, what they're calling aliens.
Well, what I think is interesting that goes on for any video that's been captured is that you can never find any identifying marks. You can't see people or entities driving or flying said vehicles.
Yep.
You can't get close enough to make anything out of it discernible.
Yeah.
It's just that overall image.
Yeah.
Now, who else could do that other than supernatural beings?
Yeah, that's right.
Second of all, this is the first, and correct me, someone out there, if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time since we've been talking about UFOs since the 40s or 50s, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time that a government has officially come out and lent credence to videos and they're saying they can't explain it.
Yeah.
Now, when your government, and of course, most people are going to, you know, bow to the government's the ultimate authority. And of course, Romans 13, we understand that. But when your government comes out and says, hey, this could be legit. Well, what more proof do we need?
Yeah, yeah.
We're all in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know. It really is amazing, Greg. And we've had presidents who said they've seen UFOs. I mean, not just from the videos, but they've seen. You know, Jimmy Carter said he did. I think there was another president that said he did. And so, again, here's the bottom line. It's interesting. When they asked the Lord about what were the last days going to be like, Greg, the first thing Jesus said was, don't be deceived. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
In other words, here's the foundation for end times events. Deception. There's going to be major deception in the last days. And then the world's going to believe the lie that Satan is giving it.
Yes.
The only ones that are going to know the truth are the believers and those who know the word of God. We know it. We believe it. We are watching it happen. And not only are we watching it happen, I really believe, you know, again, you hear this so much, it doesn't seem to have as much impact. But I truly believe we're on the cusp of the rapture of the church. When you watch the beginning of sorrows, especially if this worldwide famine kicks in and all these things, it is upon us. Listen, believers, it's time to clean up your act. If you're not walking with God, you need to repent and get back with God.
Yeah.
If you don't know the Lord, you need to make that commitment to God because it is happening.
Doesn't Matthew 24 at some point, doesn't he change when he's talking in Matthew 24? He goes back and forth from present to future. And there's a line there.
I know there's a line of what looks like the rapture takes place.
Yes.
And that's right after verse 8 where he says, Yeah. Beginning of Sorrows.
Okay, so there you go.
Yes, yes.
Stay tuned, folks. We got more Signs of the Times coming up as we continue right after this break.
WIAMLP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
Yeah. Is your financial life in balance? How do we even discover what that looks like? Hey, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. Crown's late founder, Larry Burkett, told an audience a number of years ago, it really boils down to two priorities. The first one, Larry discovered, was spending time with God.
I believe that my first pastor was one of the wisest men I've ever sat under. I know that. He started me out on a little plan that he had devised a long time ago called a 9:59 plan, 9 minutes and 59 seconds, set apart for God, totally for God every day. He said, revolutionize your life. He said, don't promise God you're going to give him an hour, because you probably won't have an hour every day, but at least promise God something. Start out with a minimum commitment of 10 minutes a day. He said, it'll grow and it'll change your life. Second priority should be to the spouse. Not to a business and not to a ministry or a vocation, but to a spouse, that you spend a reasonable amount of time in the pursuit of learning enough about each other that you know God's will for both of you. Let me say this, I believe it. God never put two similar people together. If he did, one of you is unnecessary. Therefore, he puts opposites together. And the purpose of an opposite is to offset the other's extreme. And if your life is like mine, I know exactly what it's like. One of you gets up early, one stays in bed, one goes to bed late, one goes to bed early, one gets lost, the other knows where you are, one's a good bookkeeper, the other's a rotten bookkeeper, one splashes, one cleans, I mean, you're just going forever. If you don't communicate, your life is out of balance.
Well, if you want to grow in biblical stewardship and find balance in your financial life, we're here to help. Take time today to access Crown's online studies and tools. They'll not only help you on your financial journey, but in your walk with God as well. Find out more at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
You have to understand that people are going to think what they think. The only thing you control is your personal relationship with Jesus. The fact that you can put your head down on the pillow at night with a clean conscience between you and the Lord. That's the softest pillow when accusations against you and your integrity come. So I have a clean conscience, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry you believe that. I'm sorry that you thought that about me, but I just want you to know it's not true. And I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight because my conscience is clean before the Lord. That's how you're to live your life.
Go deeper in your love relationship with Jesus as you visit edtaylor.org. Again, we're at edtaylor.org. You've been listening to A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to the second half of Signs of the Times on WIAM. Or you could be listening to the podcast, episode 123, on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher. And hopefully we're on Pandora right now. So we've got lots of ways for you to get this program. And we encourage you, especially for the times that we live in, share this program. We don't make any money off of this thing. This is what we consider our ministry public service, to give another voice to the world's news that the Word of God has said from the foundation of the world, what was going to happen. And you might have people in your life that are wondering what's going on. Maybe they're open to listening to what the Bible has to say. This is your opportunity to be an evangelist just by sharing this program. So we encourage you to do so. All right, let's get into articles. The first one coming from Israel. This is from Breitbart.com. I always pause. Do I say that right?
You're saying it right. Okay. No, Breitbart.
I used to say Breitbart.
Breitbart is how he says it. That's correct. You're doing great.
Thank you. coronavirus pandemic likely to spark mass immigration wave to Israel. Again, yes. Another prophetic fulfillment.
It really is. This is exciting to me, Greg, because you know my heart for Israel. But here's the bottom line. The Lord says he'll bring them back in the last days. Listen, from Tel Aviv, the global coronavirus pandemic will likely spark, it really has, a massive wave of immigration to Israel, with some 100,000 expatriates and new arrivals expected to move into the country once the crisis is over, according to Ministry of Absorption Statistics. Now, again, they're also getting heat from persecution for this, so there's more motivations than just the virus. An estimated 60,000 Israelis living abroad have expressed an interest in returning to Israel since the outbreak in March. That's a lot of people. There's an awakening among Israelis living abroad, Ministry of Absorption officials said. A further 40,000 Jews are expected to immigrate by the end of the year 2020, marking an increase of 5,000 from 2019's record-breaking 35,000. Speaking of the Hebrew language, Makor Rishon newspaper, Jewish agency chairman Isaac Herzog explained large waves of immigration to Israel have, and I quote, occurred historically in Jewish communities around the world after many crises since the establishment of the state. He called on the government to prepare for the absorption of such numbers. Okay, a couple comments to make. One is, you nailed it, Greg. The Lord said in the last days he will not only bring them back in the land, he said, I'll drive them back. So you see the Lord bringing people back, and now you see him driving them back. How are they being driven back? The virus and persecution. Here's what happens. This is amazing. You don't believe in spiritual warfare? Listen to what I'm about to say. Every major world pandemic or plague has been blamed on the Jews by some group of people. Now, that makes zero sense. There's no logic at all, which means it's absolutely demonic. It is spiritual. It is because God loves the Jews. God has made promises to the Jews and Israel. And because of that, the enemy attacks them every opportunity. Try to blame them, turn the anger on them. But the result is really wonderful in one way, really bad overall. But one good thing about it is it makes them realize, I need to be in my homeland. I need to be around others that can protect me, where we can fight together if we have to and be protected. And so not only do they want to move back to their homeland because God is moving in their heart to move back, they're being driven back because of the conditions of the persecution, wanting to be around their own people so they can be protected. It would be like being over in a foreign country and war breaks out between your country and some other country. You'd want to get home because that's where you're going to be the safest.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're watching happen here is biblical, and it is exciting. God gathering them back in the land where he will pour out his spirit, and we're going to see a great revival among the Jews believing in Jesus Christ.
Now think about that for a minute, what you just said. When you're somewhere where you're not supposed to be, like you're in a foreign land,
right?
And something happens and you want to get back to your homeland,
right?
We're talking now, that would be true for any of us, right? If we were in another country and something happened, man, would we want to get back home to the United States?
Absolutely.
Would we want to get back home for you and I here to Tennessee, wherever? But when we're talking about the Jews being driven back in the land, we're talking about people that may at the very best have visited Israel, but that isn't where they were born.
That's right.
That isn't where they were raised. That isn't where their friends and their family and their jobs and their whole livelihood and their whole memories are in these other countries, but yet they're driven to their home.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual thing.
It really is.
Thing.
That's a great point, Greg, because they know that's where they belong. God puts it in their heart.
Amazing.
It is.
All right, now, these articles here for America, you've kind of talked about, but we're going to talk about them again, especially this first one from ChristianPost.com, where it says the pandemic spikes are for prescriptions, or the pandemic spikes prescriptions, rather, for depression, anxiety, insomnia, as experts warn of a mental health crisis.
Yeah, and I want to cover this from two angles. Let's read some of the article. I'll talk about both angles. The new coronavirus pandemic, again, as you said, has triggered that spike. And Dr. Roger McIntyre, who's currently a professor of psychiatry and pharmacology at the University of Toronto and the head of mood disorders, psychopharmacology unit, at the University Health Network in Toronto told the Christian Post in a recent interview that the deadly coronavirus, which has already killed more than 47,000, now it's actually killed now in America, they're saying it's around 60, it's over 60, I think, and infected nationwide close to 900,000, has already taken its toll on Americans mentally. And I quote, "This is the greatest threat of our mental health in our lifetime, a combustible mix of fear, insecurity, and quarantine," said McIntyre, who also serves as the director of the Canadian Rapid Treatment Center of Excellence. "We're very concerned about an increase in suicide, depression, stress, alcoholism. With the appropriate social, medical, and individual response, we can prevent the mental health curve." Again, we talked about when does the living death get worse than the actual death. That's what he's talking about. In their latest report on the use of medications to treat three of the most common mental health conditions, depression, anxiety, and insomnia, Express Scripts, America's largest pharmacy benefit management organization, showed how the coronavirus had already been impacting America's physical health. Now, so here's what's going on. You got two things. You got people that are stuck at home. They're trying to fill that void. They're trying to get over the stress, and they're doing drugs and alcohol. There's reports all over the news about that right now. They're drugs and alcohol going out the roof because people are they don't have anything to do with themselves.
Right.
And they're nervous.
They've
they're
lost
scared,
their meaning for living.
Absolutely. So that's happening. In the meantime, you've also got people that are going getting legal mind-altering drugs, depression, and all these other things.
Yeah.
So you've got the illegal drug thing going on. You've got the legal drug thing going on. You've got the drinking, which is legal both ways, going on. And it's ruining and will ruin millions of lives if this goes on longer around the world. Around the world. It'll ruin millions around the world. There's no doubt about it. Now, but what's also interesting, Greg, that's just the result of this type of event. But now we go into the signs of the time side of it. Remember, the Bible said in the last days, you're going to see sorcery increasing. Sorcery is the word pharmakia, or pharmaceuticals, pharmacy. In other words, you're going to see people taking more drugs, I believe, illegal and legal, as we get toward the last days. So you're to be watching. We're to be watching, as believers in God's word, a spike in sorcery and or a spike in pharmakia, the use of pharmaceutical drugs to deal with life. This is happening.
Or to put it in signs of the times language, people are fulfilling one prophecy in order to cope with another prophecy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
They're
that's
fulfilling
right.
the sorcery
exactly
thing
right.
with trying to cope with a pandemic.
Yeah.
Both of which the Bible says would happen in the last days.
Yeah,
we can't make this
No, you can't. It's literally, if you didn't believe the Bible, then I don't see how you're ignoring it now. You just have to make a choice. I'm just not going to believe it.
CNBC.com, April 26th, White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett reporting that unemployment will approach the Great Depression numbers.
Now, here's another big thing in the last days. Remember, Greg, you mentioned it first half, there's going to be economic worldwide unity. We're going to see something force the world economies together. And so a depression, a crash of the American dollar system around the world, we don't know, but here we go. White House economic advisor says on Sunday that the unemployment levels could hit levels not since the Great Depression, as the economy contracts dramatically while businesses in most parts of the nation remain shuttered due to the pandemic. We see an unemployment rate that approaches rates we saw during the Great Depression, Hassett told ABC's this week. Now that shouldn't surprise us. When you shut down everybody's business.
Yeah, exactly. And people got to file unemployment.
Yeah, this is not a surprise, but it's just a sign of the times.
Yes.
During the Great Recession, we lost 8.7 million jobs in the whole thing. Now they say we're losing that many. We're really causing that many.
Yes.
Every 10 days. So the lift for economic policymakers is an extraordinary one. Hassett described the coronavirus shutdown as the biggest negative shock that our economy has ever seen. Well, of course. President Donald Trump said earlier this week in a phone call with Apple CEO Tim Cook, "Hey, give me the new technology." No, he didn't say that. He said he expected a V-shaped recovery, and that is it quickly drops and quickly comes back up. That's what he's hoping for. That's what we all hope for, rather than a kind of a U-shaped. He said, we're hoping to see this rather than a U-shaped.
That's what Trump told Cook, or Cook told Trump?
He told Cook that.
Okay.
He told Cook. He said, you know, I'm expecting a V-shaped recovery. Hassett said that a V-shaped recovery will depend on the next response from the federal government. Speaking with Chris Wallace on Fox News, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said he expects the economy to bounce back by summer. And I quote, "I think as we begin to reopen the economy in May, In June, you're going to see the economy really bounce back. In July, August, September, you're seeing trillions of dollars that's making its way into the economy. And I think this is going to have a significant impact, he said. You're going to see numbers as bad as we've ever seen. Now, again, the point is, yes, we knew this. This isn't a surprise. But the reality is, will our economy really survive it? And even if we're able to pull out with all the wizards of business we have running our nation, not just our president, but the guys he's put around him. Yeah, These guys are really, really smart when it comes to making an economy work, and they've proven that by things going out the roof. Can they revive this economy and keep it going? Very possibly, and I believe, you know, keep. But how long can that happen? Because look at the damage. So much damage. We've just increased now another $2 trillion in one fell swoop of a pen of our debt that's already in the 20-something trillions.
Yeah, we're just printing money.
How do we get out of it? How do you escape this thing, you know? And so we'll see, but I believe it's all a part of the signs of the times in working toward this one world economy and this genius who's probably in his 20s right now somewhere in Europe who's working behind the scenes to bring everybody back together and to follow him as this mastermind of recovery worldwide.
You know, it's kind of like one story blends into another. Speaking of a one world economy, this is another aspect of Bible prophecy fulfillment. The BBC is reporting that the coronavirus will hasten the decline of cash.
Yeah, we have touched on this, but again, this is BBC. This is not Christian Network News. Yeah. This is not Prophecy Update.
Well, let's refresh our listeners what the Bible talks about in terms of, because it doesn't necessarily come out and say cashless society,
That's right.
But it says just as much.
Yes. I mean, what the Bible teaches is that, again, he's going to basically, we're working toward a mark that everyone will buy and sell. He'll make everyone use digital purchasing power, and that'll be
through it will be embedded in your person.
Yes, yes. No, so we know, here's what we know the ultimate goal is. We know that the ship is sailing toward a digital implant in everyone's either their hand or their forehead, that they have to use that digitally as money to buy and sell.
That's, not just any hand, your right hand.
That's correct.
Or your forehead.
That's right.
Yes.
So that's what we're heading toward, right? Now, so what are we seeing right now? We're watching again the setting of the stage, the preparation. We're watching the use of the iPhone being used to go and scan your phone. We're watching the use of credit cards. Now we have credit cards with chips in them. So we're working toward a digital, total digital society, but I think we're going to need that strong nudge, just like the pandemic has nudged us now closer to this laying down our rights and unifying worldwide, and we never thought it would happen that quick.
Right.
This is going to be some kind of radical nudge that is going to everybody say, you know what, forget real money. Even like I said, the coffee shops now in Knoxville. I don't want your money. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, I don't want to touch
Let's
it. I'm scared.
Just run your card, scan your card, wave your phone, whatever.
Yes.
And actually, I say this every time, but I'm going to say it again. What a wonderful way to buy and sell. I mean, truly.
It's convenient.
Absolutely. Look, if it wasn't demonic and it wasn't the Antichrist, I would want to do, I would take it. I would take it because to be able not to carry something with me and just scan my hand, man. I mean, I'm one of those, the less trouble,
yes,
the better.
Are.
And you'll scan my brain. If we do it for the show, boop, he's like, wait, nothing's showing up. It must be broken. No, it's probably working. But anyway, the bottom line is it's going to be a great idea. It's going to solve pandemic problems as well as other problems, robbery, cash, keeping up with digital.
Right.
And I, again, Greg, we are, this virus is pushing it. I didn't read any of the article.
You pretty much said it.
Let me say some. Let me read a little bit. It says, let me read some of it. The lockdown has led to 60% fall in the number of withdrawals from cash machines. You know, again, I'll make a comment as I'm reading this.
Yeah.
When you hit those little fat pads, I'm thinking the whole time, am I like rubbing Corona all over my finger? Right? Because you're touching those. I'm not worried about it, but you think, how am I being protected from Corona? I'm touching the screen.
Yes.
How much better to go, boop?
Yes.
He says, the lockdown has led to 60% fall in the number of withdrawals from cash machines, although people are taking out bigger sums. I don't know who those people are, but that'd be good. Payment card use has risen with online shopping, particularly for groceries. Experts say the long-term future of cash could be at risk before the UK is ready to cope with the change. This could leave behind an estimated 20% of the population who rely on cash. Following a survey of consumers, Link suggested that 75% of people are using less cash. 54% of those said they were avoiding cash altogether. These reports early were in the coronavirus outbreak when it was about to spread.
Yeah.
That was early.
Yeah.
However, the Bank of England and World Health Organization have stressed that the risk is no greater with, you know, with money than anything else.
Exactly.
So, but the bottom, people don't know that.
But they don't know that.
No, they don't know.
Fear.
It.
Fear is a great
fear
motivator.
Fear factor is a show
fear
that probably should come
yes.
back and
it
be like,
come.
Yes.
Biblical
but
fear factor.
This
yeah.
is, I mean, again, amazing stuff happening. Guys, you're watching the Bible take place. Everybody wake up.
Man.
Wake up.
Well, we've got probably about, I don't know, if do you want to touch again on the pestilence plagues thing?
We can skip that. Let's do the other articles first, or is that what we have left?
Well, that's what we got left, and we've got our good news.
Let me touch real quick on one of them, then we'll jump right into good news and out of this world. Right?
Okay.
Right. No, we did the out of this world. We did that one first.
No.
I know I made a comment about the plagues and the shortages, but let me share. You might be thinking, yeah, but how would that really affect America, Mark? Look, I don't know if you're keeping up with news or not, but we're shutting down our meat factories. It's not going to be long to your, if you can find any meat, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Plant shutdowns from Bloomberg. Plants shut down are leaving the U.S. dangerously close to meat shortages as coronavirus outbreaks spread to across America. Greg, I've always thought of famine as vegetables, wheat, barley, not being able to farm the fields. I don't know why the dullness of brain. I wasn't thinking. I never thought about it being the meat market. We're always going to have animals, right? Almost a third of U.S. pork capacity is down. The first big poultry plants closed on Friday, and experts are warning that domestic shortages are just weeks away. Brazil, the world's number one shipper of chicken and beef, saw its first major closure with the halt of poultry plant owned by JBS SA, the world's biggest meat company. Key operations are also down in Canada, British Columbia, etc. The bottom line is Brazil and Canada's account for about 65% of the world trade meat. They're down. Now in America, we're shutting all of ours down. Why is this huge? Again, you're not going to notice it now, but here in a few weeks, you're not going to be able to find very much meat, and the meat you do find is going to cost a lot of money. But isn't this interesting, Greg? This is probably something the environmentalist is rejoicing about in the green movement because they want to get rid of meat anyway. But the reality is when you get rid of meat, it may help you with a political agenda, but it's going to cause more starvation worldwide.
Well, here's what's also interesting. Now, this month, restaurants are now able to reopen. Now, restaurants restaurants have been open for takeout, curbside, things like that. I don't think that really any restaurant has really been shut down to that extreme,
right.
Although some have voluntarily shut down or had to shut down because they couldn't get employees.
Right.
But now, you know, the governments are lifting those restrictions for dine-in, which is what most people want to do when they go to a restaurant.
Right.
So now that's going to create a demand. And so you've got this, I hate to say this yin and yang or this balancing between supply and demand.
Think about it.
In one aspect, you think our economy is robust and it's strong, but boy, you can see how fragile it is when you turn the faucet off.
Absolutely. At the same moment that you're dropping the meat supply and food supply, you're opening up the restaurants. I mean, the two couldn't be more diametrically opposed. This is going to get interesting.
Which will cause prices to
panic,
which would be inflation, all of those.
I mean, go and get a steak and eat like four of them at one time. That's what it makes you do. Don't do that, really, but I'm saying that's what it makes you do. You just do that with donuts.
That's right. All right. That would be nice, actually.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, there's so far as I know, there's not a shortage
of donuts.
Yeah, as far as I know, Krispy Kreme, there's no shortage.
Are they virus free?
Now, that's a good point. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean,
when you eat, your body kills your stomach, your
does
acids.
It kill it?
Yeah, it kills
it. Does it kill it?
Yeah. That's why food has never really been that concern. It's the packaging or the containers that have been the concern for people when food is being delivered.
Oh.
But the food itself and consuming food, cooking food, that the virus doesn't
eat it out
survive.
In the sunshine.
Because
UV light
sunshine.
Will kill
that's
the virus.
Right. Well, I would hope so.
It does. It really does.
I know. Well, I can't believe that I pressed the good news music button, but yes, we have good news.
Yes, we do.
And we not only have the good news of Jesus Christ, but we've got a governor that's pointing us to the good news of Jesus Christ. This is from ChristianHeadlines.com. Tennessee Governor Lee points to Christ at a drive-in service. Quote, unquote, we know where our hope comes from.
Yeah. Now, we'll look at this great story here. Again, while some governmental leaders have discouraged it, Our Tennessee state governor is delivering an inspirational message at a drive-in gathering. He attended a multi-church Beyond Our Walls. It was called Worship Service Sunday evening, at Williamson County AG Expo Park, where members from more than 15 churches, that's cool, throughout the area drove their cars to a large parking lot to pray, sing, listen to various speakers on a local Christian radio station, and broadcast the event. The event benefited One Generation Away, an organization that distributes food to families in Middle Tennessee. And I quote, "Thank you for everything that every one of you are doing," Lee told the attendees from the stage. "Thank you for doing your part to stay apart. Thank you for loving your neighbors as yourself. Thank you for serving in food banks. Thank you for serving nonprofits. Thank you for serving in your neighborhood. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying for me and for Tennessee's First Lady, Maria Lee. Thank you." I like that. Pray for me and Maria Lee. That could be a good slogan for him.
That sounds like a country song.
Yeah, pray for me and Maria Lee. Me and Maria Lee. Sorry. Anyway, thank you for praying for leaders across this state. Thank you for praying for those who are sick. Thank you for praying for the families of those who have lost loved ones. And thank you for having hope. In this world, we'll all have many troubles, but we know where our hope comes from, and he has overcome the world. Lee referencing John 16:33 and sparking a sound of countless horns honking. He also thanked doctors, nurses, and first responders. And again, you know, the governor very clearly backing the drive-in church scenario, doing the drive-in church, being supportive of it. But we're really blessed to have a governor that is a believer, a governor that knows the Lord. And, you know, even though I firmly believe we're in the last days, and I know the enemy is going to be turning up the heat in many ways, God has been so faithful to surround us here in America with leaders in different areas enough that know him, that are protecting us. Imagine, look, I don't know whether President Trump is a true Christian or not, but I know he believes in Christianity, and I know he stands with Christianity. I'm not judging either way. I don't know. The point I'm making is we have a president who is standing with Christians, and he's standing up for Christians, and he's standing, he's basically a defense right now. And let me tell you, if we had a president in there right now that didn't like the Lord or Christians, if we had a governor that didn't like the Lord or Christians, I'm not saying what they would do or not do. I'm saying we would not be nearly as protected and as nearly safe. God is watching over us. It is a blessing. We need to be praying for our governor. We need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying for all of our leaders, those that know the Lord and those that don't. It's, you know, because they need God's wisdom. And not only that they'll have wisdom, but that they'll come to Christ. Yeah.
Pastor Mark, as we close, why don't you share with people how we can inoculate ourselves from the fear and from the stress through God's word and through prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's a great point, Greg. We have to do that. If we don't run to the word and prayer right now, we're not gonna be able to survive it. I mean, certainly we'll, in the sense of, you know, we're gonna go to heaven when it's all done. But if there's gonna be any level of strength and sanity, it's gonna come through the word of God
and usability through this.
It really is. We have to stay anchored in God's word so we can stay really clear on God's in control. We're right on target. God is not surprised. He's not shocked. He knows what's going on. And we have all the reminders of God's power, God's authority, and God's promises of what's going to happen in this world. And again, just reading the word and recognizing that the Bible says all the way up until the second coming, it says that, or until the rapture anyway, and even maybe beyond that, but the rapture for sure, it says that people will be marrying and giving in marriage, which shows some level of normalcy. I know you said, well, they'll do that, you know, on internet. Yeah, but they're going to eventually have to come together at some point. So the word of God keeps us anchored and keeps us encouraged. Prayer is where the power comes from.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you right now as listeners out there, you need the power of prayer. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the only thing that's going to keep you strong and standing firm. It is a supernatural thing that takes place. I have a dear friend that went to be with the Lord last week, another pastor, and his precious wife. I called her today, talked to her on the phone, and she's feeling so much grace and feeling so strong from the Lord. She's wondering if she's normal. She's like, is something wrong with me? Am I not normal? Because of? And I said, no, what you're experiencing right now is exactly what the Bible says is the grace of God. And Greg, I see this over and over and over when believers die. You'll see the people that they were the closest with have this amazing settled strength that is not, it's not explainable any other way than by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what the word of God in prayer does. So if you want to have the inoculation to be protected while this coronavirus thing is going on, be faithful in the word, be faithful in prayer. That's where your strength's going to come from. And listen to the word of God and tune into shows like Signs of the Times so you know what's going on. Jesus has told us a lot.
Yeah.
Let me say lastly, if you don't know the Lord, you're going to be freaking out. And you have reason to be. You have reason to be freaking out, because not only is this world going to get crazy, but you know what? Eternity is going to be eternal separation from God if you don't make a decision. Here's the good news. Jesus loves you, and he made a way for you to go to heaven. It's very simple. He did everything. Came to the earth as a man, said, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. He had to spill his blood as a sacrifice. The method he chose was sacrifice, was crucifixion, rather. He allowed himself to be crucified on the cross. His blood spilled out. He said, I'm doing this for mankind. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He gave his spirit up. He rose from the dead. He ascended back to heaven. He gave us, his disciples, the message to share. And here's what he says. Anyone who will believe in me, if they'll confess they're a sinner, if they'll ask forgiveness of their sins and believe that my blood paid for their sins, anybody that will do that, I will take into heaven. You're invited today, but you've got to confess, believe, and receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and we'll see you in heaven when the time comes.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much, folks. Don't forget thescience.org for everything about our program, and we do trust that you have heeded Pastor Mark's encouragement, and you're going to be in the Word and in church in some form or fashion this weekend. And we look forward to seeing you next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.